They keep it professional.
Yeah.
So before we get into the traditional Los Angeles Nista public transportation awareness and geography of LA County, let's get into some of your other projects. Mm-hmm. You got some other comics in the making.
Yeah, I'm working on this new book now that'll be my next project after I finish the Henry England series. It's called The Humans, and it's I'm collaborating with a good friend of mine, Keenan Marshall Keller, who also self-publishes book in comics and art zines under his company Drippy Bone Books.
Very cool.
But it's this weird story he's come up with that's sort of, I mean, the easiest way to describe it doesn't really do it credit, but it's kind of like Planet of the Apes meets Easy Rider meets Mad Max. So gangs of biker ape men beating each other up and having crazy adventures, but it's going to, in a post-apocalyptic world that is actually 1970 America, Bakersfield, California.
1970 America, Bakersfield.
Yeah, it's sort of like a 70s exploitation.
Let me tell you, let me just branch off really quick and give you an example of something. I'm really into Slayer, mm-hmm. and I'm really into Pantera, and I'm really into Morbid Angel.
Oh, my favorite.
There was a tour where all three of those bands were on the road together. Uh-huh. That was the package. Slayer, Pantera, and Morbid Angel. And I think this band called, Static X was on that too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like Tony Campos, the bassist, but I don't like them. I don't like Static X, the music. But I'm a fan of Tony. You don't like his hair?
Isn't he the guy that has like the 3 feet of hair?
I think so. Yeah. That's the front man.
Yeah.
It's like high hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird hair. So I'm not a fan of Static X. I'm not a fan of the music, but I'm a fan of Tony. I think I like Tony's work ethic. He plays like an assassino, and he's played in Prong and all these Soulfly, I think, or like one of the Max Kevlar bands. And I like his vibe, like what he does as a bass player. So anyways, yeah, I remember I went to the San Diego show, LA show, which was Long Beach Arena. And I want to say Bakersfield.
Yeah.
All three. you know, San Diego and Long Beach was civilized in the fact where, you know, it was bonkers.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Open floor, whatever. It was complete mayhem. I actually had a friend, one of my cousin's friends, just get beaten down by the Long Beach Police Department at that show. So bad that like there was a lawsuit and all this. It was like horrendous. So that's how crazy that show was. Slayer, yeah. Pantera, Morbid Angel, Long Beach Arena. Everyone's just going for it. Bakersfield, on the other hand, it was like if there was a Thunderdome and all these characters, that's what the audience looked like. It was like just complete, like, it was like, okay, I was 13 years ago or something. I'm just like sitting there and it's like, first of all, where do these people come from? So that's the first thing. Second of all is, what are they on?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of meth labs out there.
Yeah.
You know, now who would win as far as making meth? Would it be, who would win, Hemet or Bakersfield?
Oh, I don't know.
That could be in the comic, right?
Yeah, rival meth gangs.
Instead of a chili cook-off, they have a meth cook-off. No, but anyways, I'm just trying to be a comedian right now. Monkeys on meth. I'm just trying to be a comedian right now. But anyway, no, seriously, I mean, that's my Bakersfield experience. But anyways, so it takes place in Bakersfield is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, Bakersfield, a mythological Bakersfield in 1970, which is post-apocalyptic. So none of it really makes sense, but it's going to be one of the most fun things to draw because it's ape men riding motorcycles. And that's going to be awesome.
My second greatest Bakersfield experience of all time. 2000. Mm-hmm. I'm writing for a magazine called Mean Street in Los Angeles. And Kiss is on the farewell tour, which is the third reunion. Yeah. And Ted Nugent and Skid Row are opening. And the publicist at Island Def Jam was like, I guess that Universal Island was like under the same, you know, roof. And she goes, if you, I know you did a KISS request to interview them for Mean Street. If you want to interview them, I could get you one free ticket to Bakersfield and All Access and time with them to interview them. So little did I know.
That'd be awesome.
It was like a really early call time. You know, not early. It was like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, it's around there. And I waited for a while, and I think I went back to when Ted Nugent was playing, and Gene came out of makeup into the interview with me backstage in makeup,
yeah,
minutes before they went on.
Awesome.
So that's like, you know, two yin and yangs. It's the, where do they come from? Dynamic.
Yeah.
Pantera and Slayer. Then it's the interviewing KISS and makeup and like being in that world and then like being cut off by Doc McGee saying, all right, that's enough. And then like step out and then they take a picture with the mayor and then they walk onto stage. And I saw that. I was just like, wow, okay, I'm there. I was in KISS world for a minute. So it's like, how could you top that, right?
Did you get any good answers out of them?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you a hard copy. I got a stack of them still. But I think that those are my memories of Bakersfield. So we'll see what happens when you come out with the comic. And
yeah, I think I'm going to have to go visit Bakersfield more.
You got to live it.
Yeah.
You got to live it.
I've been to the Crystal Palace.
Jerry's it's Pizza awesome. Was the DIY venue.
Yeah.
It's a pizza parlor with a brick basement, and that's where bands play. And I played there a few times, and yeah, it's great. So anyways, let's get into some of the things about LA that you like. Mm-hmm. Now, are you a public transportation guy at all? Have you taken the Gold Line or the Red Line or the bus anywhere? Or is that just not on your radar?
But not very often because there's not an easy outlet from my neighborhood.
Sure.
So I wish there was a train.
You're in Atwater, right?
Yeah.
And there's not even a really easy bus route that is frequent.
Yeah.
And easy. And it's and those are some of the topics we want to bring up because, you know, this is all relevant information, you know, about the state of Los Angeles, you know, the state of public transportation in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and how they can make things much better here for people and offer people the knowledge to use it because a lot of people don't even know it exists.
Right.
These subways. I mean, you're not too familiar with them either, yeah. Right? Yeah.
I mean, a few times, but it's right. Like I have to drive to there
right,
first.
So. Right, right. And you would think a city like Los Angeles, the second biggest city in the United States, would provide and facilitate bus lines, at least, that get you to these trains. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case. So it's really interesting because in some of the suburbs on Saturdays and Sundays, the buses run once an hour. So it's like, how do you operate, man? It's just, right. You know, and sometimes a bus breaks down or it doesn't come. And you're there for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at the end of the day, though, if you could install a routine within your day-to-day life with work and whatever else you're involved in, you know, like, for instance, I mean, the Red Line, I mean, that's downtown to North Hollywood. I mean, mm-hmm. in between, it's, you know, it's downtown. It's right by City Hall. It's, you know, it's by the Pershing Square Station, right by La Cita, you know, Beverly and Vermont. And then, you know, the K-Town area and, mm-hmm. and then on up, it's Los Feliz and East Hollywood and Hollywood. And you could get close to West Hollywood by getting off on Highland and then Universal North Hollywood. So you could, you know, if you had a routine within that vicinity, it would be useful.
Yeah.
Is a point. And if that was useful, it would cost you $5 a day, unlimited. So that's like minus the wear and tear, minus the stress and the gas. But I think for a lot of people, they don't even know there's a Red Line. They don't know there's a Gold Line.
Yep.
And I think people get turned off when they're somewhat far and they can't get there. Mm-hmm. That's your case, right? That's your story.
Yeah.
So the times you have gone out, I mean, probably for convenience, you probably haven't been able to really use it.
No, not right? as much. It's more of like a novelty. Let's right. go try to ride the train and see where we can go.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, you, let's talk about any like, you know, some of your favorite spots, galleries.
Yep.
Let's go there.
Galleries, I go to a lot of, you know, I have some friends who work in some galleries in Culver City, which is, you know, always.
What are the names?
Forever to get there. A good friend of mine works at Mark Moore Gallery. It's on Washington and. Oh, it's Washington, just east of La Cienega, but I forget which that cross street is. Robertson, maybe?
Yeah.
So right around that area.
What kind of stuff do they facilitate?
They're fine arts, a lot of painting, sculpture, different kind of stuff. They're I usually like what they. I usually go check it out because my friend works there. But and there's other galleries in that area too, like Blum and Poe and Corey Helford Gallery, and there's this big gallery strip right along Washington now that's popped up in the last 5 years.
That's great. I mean, you know, that's weekend openings. You're the first guy on on this show that has mentioned that area.
Mm-hmm.
So that is great, and
it's the new thriving art scene for LA. So
yeah, and I think when we install the podcast tomorrow, we're going to be able to put like. In the description, and like really get people inspired to maybe take the expo line out there, because I know the expo line runs out there, but you know, it's not exactly easy, and I think that you know, there's people got to connect the dots with themselves depending where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. But what about live music venues?
Well, we were talking about the Black Castle earlier.
You like that place?
Yeah.
Is that that's considered South Central, right? Or is it Inglewood?
I think it's Inglewood-ish. I don't know.
Inglewood?
It's hard to say.
I think, I mean,
I'm less familiar with those areas.
I think it's South Central, technically. Yeah, but I mean that's a venue that is like total DIY. You know, it's, I mean, what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the bigger black metal bands would rather play there than some tight, uptight place.
Yeah.
What are some of the shows you've seen there that are memorable?
Of course, then my mind goes blank. Just like when you ask me what bands I'm listening to lately. Too much. I've only
overload.
Been there a couple of times, but yeah, it's escaping me at the moment. Sorry.
Well, that's fine. Let's talk Mexican food.
Yeah.
All right. LA is the place for Mexican food. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Jeremy, are you in there? Get on here really quick. All right, everyone. This is Jeremy, the owner of Skid Row Studios.
What's up?
Yeah, this is the East Coast guy right here. And him and I we've been doing like a lot of restaurant episodes and having people bring food in and we kind of critique it and all that. And we were just discussing Saturday that I think, like, personally, I really think that the weather, the geography, and the Mexican food is what keeps people here. I mean, it's you're serious about it too, right? It's great.
Yeah, no, I've lived in New York City, other places on the East Coast, New Jersey, whatever, and you can't find Mexican food there like you can here in Los Angeles.
Just,
I don't know what, you know, but it's the same, you know, people say the same thing about pizza here.
And right.
I don't know what it is because, you know, logically you would think just do the same thing that you do here in L.A., but do it over there.
Put it together in the oven.
It doesn't work out. It is geography somehow or culture or something like that.
I think there's a certain intent behind it.
Yeah.
But it's not like whether it's good or bad. It's just like, it's done a certain way that's been passed on.
I was speaking to my sister the other day who still lives in Pennsylvania, and she still will bring up the time she visited here in LA and had tacos off a taco truck downtown here. And
So she was blown away by that?
Yeah, completely blown away. She said she's never had food like that ever since that point.
Tom, do you do taco trucks or you don't subscribe to that?
Well, it's a little more difficult for me because I'm vegan, so it's if I can find one that will have options, then I'm there.
But there's a lot of new vegan Mexican places popping up.
Yeah,
you know.
There's a place called
vegan-friendly
Guisados.
Guisados?
Do some...
There's one in Echo Park, right?
Yeah, that one opened recently.
And I just saw one over the weekend in Boyle Heights.
The Boyle Heights one is the original.
Yep.
Yeah. And they're actually opening one probably sometime this summer right over at the Arcade Building off of Broadway, 6th and Broadway over there.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
That place is awesome.
I agree. I think, like, you know, I'm asking Tom, you know, we're just talking about, you know, what does he like? And he shared his galleries and so forth. But public transportation, you know, for him isn't easy to use because of where he's located. But, like, I just think that... It's going to get to the point now. Like, I mean, the more conversations and the more episodes I do, Mexican food comes up. When people are from out of town, like, I don't get it anywhere else but here. And I think you're an example of that. You know, like, you agree.
Yeah.
Completely. I think there's so many options and it's all good. And to me, it's like, it's pretty simple to make. It's like, how can you fuck up a cup of coffee How can you fuck up Mexican food? You know what I mean? You got to be an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you're going to fuck up Mexican in L.A. is if you go to some lame chain restaurant like a Chevy's or something. Like, that's fucked up Mexican food. But anywhere else, it's Acapulco. Amazing.
And priced high. So what about, as far as getting back to Tom, what about vegan restaurants? What are some of your favorite vegan restaurants?
Lately my favorite's been Sage in Echo Park. It's on,
I've heard of that place.
Sunset and Logan, I think. It's awesome.
Well, I know. I mean, if people want to go there, they could take the number 2 bus from downtown or come in the opposite way from UCLA, West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And then that line 2 bus is 24 hours. It's one of the only few MTA 24 hour lines and it'll drop you off right there. I know where that's at, but cool. Like on the menu, what's your favorite?
Let's see. Well, they have awesome. They have really good vegan tacos. They have like a fake street taco that's made with jackfruit instead of meat. That's really like jackfruit, kind of shredded like pork. It's really good.
And then, like, would you say
brunch? Their brunch menu. They have a pretty awesome like vegan Benedict, Toko Benedict thing. That's
someone told me about the brunch there. Is it vegan only or is it both?
It's all vegan there, so yeah.
Oh, it's a vegan place.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they have a vegan ice cream parlor inside too.
How long have you been vegan?
Vegan for 13 years and vegetarian for 6 years before that.
So. Do you find that in Los Angeles it's getting easier for vegan options?
Oh, yeah. When I moved here, there were like 3 or 4, there may be 2 restaurants that were all vegan and then like a few, you know, handful of friendly places. But now it seems like everybody's friendly. And there's more.
There's no more attitude behind
up all the time.
Like, there's no attitude behind it, right?
No,
like, yeah, sure. Like, what do you want?
And like places like Golden Road Brewery Pub and Mohawk Bend and stuff like that are opening up where they have both vegan and non-vegan, and that's awesome because I don't have that many vegan friends. So
right. How are you? How deep are you in the vegan culture? Like, do you know? Like what places, like fast food chains, have a vegan item, or what from the market that's boxed is vegan?
I know a lot of it. I'm very aware of it for myself, but it's a lot of label reading constantly. So
and constantly informing yourself, right?
Yeah, just keeping on top of it. So
I have a question for you. I've always wanted to know what breakfast cereals in a box, like Raisin Bran or Captain Crunch, are vegan.
Ooh. I'm not sure because
that's a good question, right? I saw you
that
like
is pretty good. You know, I want to say the peanut butter crunch. I think might be, but don't quote me on that. I don't really eat many of those though. Like I eat like granola and boring stuff.
Boring. I mean, so a basic package of granola that's like considered vegan. I mean, if you have almond milk with it, right? That's vegan.
Yeah. Some have. Honey and stuff in them, and some vegans don't eat honey. But
gotcha.
But yeah.
But as far as I mean, the substitutes for different items for different cuisines, whether it's Mexican or Asian or Italian, it seems like all of that is just becoming wider availability now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so people like you that are vegan can actually connect with more restaurants because it's welcoming for that for you, for that option. Yeah,
especially in LA.
Now, is it more expensive?
No, it really isn't. I mean, a lot of people think that is, but it's not. And it's, I mean, the most expensive vegan restaurant in town is Real Food Daily, and then in they have like 3 branches. But it's compared to like if you went out for like a steak dinner, it's like, you know, you're gonna be paying a lot. I mean, it's usually like $20 a person, and that's like the most expensive vegan place in town. So.
Right.
But yeah, I don't find it more expensive. It's just it's just different. So.
Yeah. What about like bookstores? I mean, being someone who publishes or work, mm-hmm. what are some of your favorite like mom and pop bookstores in LA County?
Well, like Secret Headquarters, Comic Shop, and
that's right next to Vacation.
Yeah, next to Vacation Vinyl. That's where a lot of my income goes to those two stores. Skylight Books in Los Feliz, Meltdown Comics in Hollywood are some of the ones that I frequent a lot because they carry my stuff and I check in on them a lot. Another one I like is another comic shop I like is House of Secrets in Burbank on Olive.
Right.
What else? Downtown, the last bookstore downtown is great.
That is right off the Line 18 mm-hmm. bus route. So easy to get to. You could stand in front of my house right over the Sixth Street Bridge, and it'll just like take you over the bridge right to the front door. And they do like a lot of readings now. Like
yeah.
KRS-One was just there. Mm-hmm. They have a vinyl section now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice
yeah. that. it's very like classic catalog. It's yeah. not like nothing new or anything like that. But it's like, you know, it's jazz and it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's classic U stuff. Like you'll find a Hall & Oates record.
Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. I just had this conversation over the weekend. There is nothing wrong with old school Hall & Oates.
I love Hall & Oates. They're in Henry England forever too.
I know. This keeps getting better. I have this vision that at some point the next installment of Henry and Glenn Forever will have Glenn's blood in the red ink. Just like our heroes.
Maybe.
How could that happen, though? How could that happen? We can make amends and commit some. Just, you know, take a little sample so we can pour it in. That'd be a good publicity stunt. Well, with that being said, that wraps it up, Tom. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Tom, plug your website again where people could buy your work.
It's iwilldestroyyou.com.
And tell us about Heavy Tuesday, your metal night tomorrow.
Yeah, Heavy Tuesday, every Tuesday, 10 to 2 at Footsie's Bar, which is 2640 North Figueroa.
Very cool.
So, yep.
All right, well, that's a wrap.
Thank you.
Thank you.